Have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter number 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Going to be reading verses 1 through 8. Then we're going to come back and look at it and pray that God would speak to our heart. The Bible said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, Lord, send me." Our Father, Lord, we do thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity to once again revisit a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I pray today, Lord, that you'd open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts that we might be receptive to the truth that is set before us. And Father, I ask now that you would guide and direct. Again, we pray, Lord, if there's one here today that does not know thee as their Savior, they'd not leave this building today without having the assurance which they can have simply by putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask now that your will be done. We'll thank you for what you do, and we'll praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. We begin by seeing in the first part of the verse, the Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died. I want to take that phrase and think for just a minute. King Uzziah was the 10th king of Judah. We find that he was a godly man, pretty much a godly man. He did have some problems along the way, but he was much under the help and tutelage of Zechariah. And again, Isaiah looked to him for influence. He had great influence in the southern kingdom. They achieved power. They achieved success, unlike it had experienced in the days of Solomon. So here we find Uzziah was seemingly a great king. However, he got to the point like most people do. He got a little bit heady. You know, when you have success, sometimes if you're not careful, pride will pop up in your life and it'll destroy you. And we find Uzziah, he got to the point, if you'll remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, Uzziah almost made a fatal mistake by offering incense in the temple. You can read that in 2 Chronicles 26. And God struck him with leprosy because of his disobedience to the Lord to do God's will and obey him. Sad part about it is Uzziah died a leper. He died because of his disobedience to the Lord. And by the way, disobedience to the Lord is very serious. I believe that Isaiah was looking to Uzziah for strength and guidance and direction. And I believe he was disturbed by the death of this king. He had kind of looked upon him upon being an idol. I tell people all the time, thank the Lord, I'm glad today that I can stand and preach the word of God. But I'm just the man of God preaching the word of God. But I'm not to be worshipped. We don't worship anybody in this place other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But I believe Isaiah had got his eyes on this king who had been successful up until a point. And basically, it signaled a time when he died that Isaiah was seeing an end to the prosperity and the wealth that they had had and enjoyed for some 52 years because he had ministered to them and did it. Evidently, he's disturbed by the death of the king. After all, Uzziah had reigned a long time. For Isaiah, the entire nation, the death was ushered in. It was of uncertainty, change, and doubt that was coming his way. Isaiah doesn't realize it at the time, but it's going to be something that's going to be of great help to him. It's going to help him rediscover something that he had forgotten. He looked to Uzziah, he looked at him, he lifted him up, and of course he thought he was a wonderful person, and I'm sure in many ways he was. But it would appear that Isaiah had his eyes focused on Uzziah. Friend, there's nobody in the world today that our eyes ought to be focused on any more than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To understand that God is a merciful God, a God is a loving God, and yet today there's nobody that matches what he can do or what he will do. And so Isaiah was focused with his attention upon Uzziah. And what happened to Isaiah needs to happen to every one of us. And that's the title of the message. We need what happened to Isaiah to happen to everyone else. What do you really need this morning? We've all experienced difficult times. We go through periods when our attention is on other people. It's on other matters beside the Lord. And yet we kind of get distracted and get our minds off. And I believe that's exactly what was taking place in Isaiah's life. Isaiah was a great prophet, and God used him in a great way. But he had his eyes set on Uzziah, and all of a sudden he dies. And again, we find that, thank the Lord, he refocuses. He turns his attention somewhere else. And can I tell you today, sometimes things happen in our life that draws our attention, distracts us to the point of where we forget who we need to look to and who we need to depend on. But I want to say today, what we all need is to make it, that we need a lot in our lives. I believe everybody today would agree we need money, we need shelter, we need jobs, we need food, we need health care, we need to have clothing. And by the way, I can assure you, the older you get, you'll need more health care than you've ever had before. We all have family and friends. We have our trinkets and our gadgets and our toys and all the things that we feel are of great importance to us. But literally, those things are not anything. What we really need is a little less of what the world has to offer and a lot of what God has to offer. We only come to the house of God three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But yet we find today that there's many people, they spend every day out in the world, around the things of the world. And if you're not careful, you'll get your eyes dependent upon the things of the world. Somebody said, well, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. But the fact of it is, you can't do anything apart from the will of God in your life. Watching Isaiah during this pivotal time presents a great truth. And I want to move as quickly as I can, but I want to share with you, and I'll repeat some of the verses that I've already read. But we find here we need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to see what Isaiah saw. We find in the passage of Scripture in verses 1 through 4, and I'll not read them. I'll read them as we go. What is it Isaiah saw? Well, he got his eyes off Uzziah because Uzziah died. And he turned his eyes and focused them upon the Lord. And the Bible says in the first verse, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne. I don't know of anything better to refocus your attention to than on the Lord. It's a shame undoubtedly that he had had his eyes on Uzziah, but we find that when he died, he saw the Lord, and he saw him like he had never seen him before. He saw him high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. Talk a little bit about that. But the earthly symbols of worship had disappeared. The glories of worship in the heaven became real to Isaiah. You know, today a lot of people have certain things that they worship. They have idols. But I want to tell you today, idols cannot speak. Idols cannot think. Idols cannot do for you for what only God can do if we put our eyes and trust in Him. Isaiah saw something that only a handful of people have ever saw. He saw the glory of the Lord. I was thinking, preparing this message, I surely wish today when I stepped into the pulpit that God might bring about something in my life to see the glory of the Lord. Not only that I would see it, but that you would see it and that we would experience in some way or another. And so what does it do? It has a profound effect on Isaiah's life. He's now taken his eyes and refocused them to the place really where it needed to be. He's made aware of someone that is greater than he is. And there he is seeing all these things. We need the same reminder from time to time. Sometimes it seems like we're coming apart at the seams. When that happens, we need to remember that God is in control of all things. We talk about it many times. And by the way, those of you that went to hear Kenny Baldwin the other night, I listened to the messages by way of video over their webcast. Great message on Psalm 23. And today I thought about that as he was going. But listen, God's in control. If you're a Christian, God knows what you're going through today. He knows what you're experiencing. The Bible said we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. However, in this world we live, we're easily distracted. Have you ever been talking to somebody and realized they weren't listening to what you're saying? I've been talking to people and realized that I didn't realize what I was saying. And my mind would be somewhere. That's dangerous, by the way. I don't recommend it. But we need to remind, we need to be reminded who God is. We need to remind ourselves that God is in control. Sometimes we find ourselves following the wrong paths. We need to be reminded of who God is. Only the path of blessing leads to the Lord. And if we get our eyes, if we get distracted by so many things and we go down the wrong way, it's easy to go down the wrong way. We need to stay on the right way. And by the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When we find ourselves growing cold spiritually, I know that probably hadn't happened to any of you, but I'd have to admit through my lifetime there's been times that I have grown spiritually cold toward the things of God. I think today of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, back to the last phrase we talked about. But he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We need to be reminded, we need to rekindle that flame. Oh, I tell you today, the psalmist David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. In other words, there's times when we're distracted. We get our eyes and our mind on things of the world, and yet we need to be reminded of who God is. When life grows larger than God, we better be careful. Life does not have or hold a great meaning. I'm grateful today for life and all of us. I can stand here today and say, I've lived a good life. God's been good to me, and you ought to be able to say that, and I'm sure you could. But as we think about that today, we need to be reminded that God is bigger than the world. God's bigger than the things of the world. We need to refocus our attention. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, there's none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like God. Amen. That's a good verse to write down in your head and in your Bible. We find in 2 Samuel 7:22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. I'm glad today for the word of God that gives me what I need to understand. But there's been countless other times when God seems to grow small in our heart. Sometimes we don't have the desire to go to church like we need to. And by the way, could I tell you today, the devil will do everything he can to destroy your life. He'll do everything he can to distract your attention from God to things of the world. There are many ways we can accomplish. So the first thing he saw a position. He saw his position. He was seated high and lifted up. He saw the glory of the Lord. The second thing we see, he saw God's personality. Isaiah saw his glory, but now we see he sees his personality. Verses 1 through 3, since I've already read verse 1, I'll go to verse 2. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, which twain we covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory. So the next thing we see is he saw God's personality. Now, this is uncomprehendable to us as we think about these things happening, but this was happening in heaven. This is the place. There was heaven was engaged in one thing. That was worshiping the true King, the Lord God, the only Lord God there is. Down here today, people worship all kind of things. But I tell you, in heaven, they only worship one thing, and that's the one that sits on the throne of God, the one that Isaiah saw the glory of God, but now he sees the personality. The seraphim means the burning ones. In other words, they are pure, they're living, they're eternal flames of praise, giving praise to God for what he's done. The seraphim are also magnifying the transcendent nature of God. Can you imagine that scene? Almost infinite number of seraphim are praising the name of the Lord. Somebody said, how many seraphim were there? I don't know, but when John looked into heaven, he saw them. The Bible said in Revelation 5:11, and behold, I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them that was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I don't know how to explain that except John was saying there's myriads and myriads, there's millions and millions of them. Heaven is a place that is reverberating with continual, loud, prolonged, and perfect prayer. It's a worship of the Lord God Almighty. I tell you today, I enjoy life. I say this often. You say it too much. And if I do, I apologize for that. Well, I don't apologize for that. I say it all the time. I can't wait to get to heaven. Now, understand what I'm saying. I enjoy life. Enjoy my family. And I pray for God to give me a good long life down here. But I'm glad to know today that when I die, I'm going to a place that He's prepared for me. And I tell you, there ain't going to be nothing there but just praising the Lord, exalting Him, and lifting up. There's not going to be any beefing about anything. Listen, we're going to be like they were. Look what they said. He said, they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Do you know that this is the only place that we find in the Bible where this phrase is mentioned? Holy plus holy plus holy. When the angels cry, "Holy, holy," obviously the seraphim had run out of words to describe Him, so they added another "holy" to it. You know what that means? The cry means perfect, perfect, perfect. It means separate, separate, separate. It means glorious, glorious, glorious. It means pure, pure, pure. And He's all those things, by the way. By the way, phrase "holy, holy" is the only time you'll find it here in this one passage of Scripture. So the seraphim, they added on another "holy" in order that they might express their self. Even the seraphim are careful to honor the holiness and the purity of God. And I'm going to tell you today, sometimes we treat God like a spare tire. Sometimes we treat Him like, "Well, if I need you, I'll call you." I've had people tell me that. It didn't turn out so well. They said, "When I need you, I'll call you." And they needed me sooner than they thought. But I can tell you this. Today, as we stand before God, He deserves our praise. He deserves our attention. He deserves our focus. There's a great lesson to be learned if we can grasp hold of His holiness. I tell you, the Bible tells us, by the way, because He's holy, He says, "Be ye holy." And it's important that we understand that. We see His glory, His majesty, and His power. Notice Isaiah is reminded, the earth is full of His glory. Have you thought about it? I tell you, wasn't it beautiful yesterday? Just a beautiful day, everything except the pollen, but we need a little bit of that. But the rain kind of washed some of that away yesterday. And this old pollen, but beautiful day. On the way to church this morning, such a beautiful morning. That is the glory of God presented to us in our minds and our hearts to see who He really is. I found this, and I want to read it to you. Didn't memorize it. But the animals that walk the vast continents, the fish that swim the deep blue seas, the birds that soar through the air above, the insects that burrow in the ground beneath exist for His glory. The trees and the plants of the verdant plains, the sands that fill the scorching deserts and mark the boundaries of the oceans, the briny salt water that fills the seas, and the refreshing cool waters of the lakes, the rivers, and the streams, the mountains that rise to dizzying heights, and canyons that score the surface of this world, all exist for one reason: for His glory. Those are things that we see were created by Him. The stars that sprinkle the velvet black of the night sky, like the trillions of scattered diamonds, declare His glory. The night before Kenny Baldwin preached, there was another man preached, and he preached on the stars. I wouldn't have time to preach it, but he says stars shine all the time. Stars twinkle. And I can't remember all the different things he said about them, but it made sense that that's what we ought to be doing as we serve the Lord. The planets that move with exact precision through the vast emptiness of the boundless universe exist for His glory. I'm telling you, even with the glory of God visible all around us, we puny humans still want to erect monuments. We want to erect monuments. We want to build buildings. We want to erect businesses and movements. And our monuments have become our heroes. And unfortunately today, there's not enough people in the church that God is their hero. Today we have heroes of all kind. We find also our hopes, our attempt to leave a mark on the world. Today, if I can make it in the NFL, or if I can make it to be a movie star, or if I can make it to do this, that's what I want to do. But I submit to you today, those are not things that we need to dwell on. We need to dwell on the purity and the holiness of Almighty God and realizing what God would have us to do. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things. I'm saying simply if it takes the place of God, there is something wrong with it because He needs our attention focused on Him. In verse number 4, we see His presence. The Bible said, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I tell you, Isaiah saw God's presence. House filled with smoke means the symbol of the presence of God. You notice the word train. It wasn't a CFX or anything, CXL, whatever that train line is. But it was his veil or robe, literally, the train filled the temple, meaning his robe. And God was the central figure in all the temple. See, what Isaiah saw, he ain't seen nothing outside of heaven. When Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. And I tell you, the way he saw him is the way you and I need to see him as he really is. What a lesson today that we might understand his glory. Realize, and I don't think we recognize God's power. We don't sense God's presence or countless other ways, but the Lord has been good to us. And truly today, he's been constant. He's been consistent. He's been a perpetual presence in our life. And I'm thankful today that he dwells with us and lives with us as we walk with him. The second thing I want you to see today is we need to sense what Isaiah sensed. In verse number 5, I think it's interesting, and this is where we're going. Look what he said in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What you've seen is Isaiah just had revival. Isaiah had turned his attention off of Uzziah. He was a good king in a lot of ways. He messed up some ways. But yet he's the one that was responsible for all the wealth and prosperity. But when he was gone, all that mattered was that he saw the Lord. And he saw him high and lifted up. The first thing we noticed, he sensed his sinful condition. Can I say today, when he saw himself as what he was, he realized there were problems in his own heart. He realized there were some things in his own heart that he needed to get right. If we ever find ourselves in the presence of God, I believe that'll happen. If we could preach today and God, and it wouldn't be me, but if God allowed the Holy Spirit to come down and His glory to shine all around and people begin to get under conviction, I promise you, you would see yourself as you really were, a sinner, and the only way to be saved is by the grace of God. Yet Isaiah looked and he saw himself and he said, woe is me. Isaiah probably thought just like a lot of our folks do, everything's all right. I do pretty good. I go to church 3 times a week. I teach Sunday school. I sing in the choir. I do those things. And by the way, all those things are wonderful. And I'm looking at, man, the choir did a great job this morning. I'm excited about the Easter cantata coming up in 2 weeks. But listen, Isaiah, I believe. Now remember, a prophet and a good man, and much we learn from his book. But at the very start of his book, we find Uzziah died and he saw the Lord. He became aware of his own wickedness. You know, it's so easy today to look at somebody else and to judge them. Say, boy, they need to get that right. But you see, it's not them that need to get right. It's me that needs to get right. And until we see God, and until we're confronted with His power and His glory, we're never going to see ourselves as well to see Him. Isaiah said, woe is me. Notice, he didn't cry, woe is my neighbor. He said, woe is me. I tell you today, you can probably think of 10 people in the congregation right now. You're probably saying, they need that message. I'd say today, quit doing that. Just ask yourself to be sure you don't need the message as much as anybody else has. We're not here to pass the buck. We're here to let it fall where it will and everybody allow it to speak to their heart. When we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord, the mundane of life will have no significance or no meaning whatsoever. God will have the priority and the preeminence in our life. The excitement of sin will be lost. Somebody said, well, sin, the Bible said sin, it's a pleasure for a season. It's a short season, but I guarantee you one thing, when you stand before God in His presence, He'll hold your attention with a relentless grip that He will not lose hold. It's interesting to read in the Bible how many people reacted to the presence of the Lord. When people came into the presence of the Lord, let me just mention a couple of things here. You know what they did? They fell down before Him. Hadn't seen anybody fall down in church. Well, I've been falling. I better be careful. I might, but I'm not talking about that way. But, I mean, really, have you ever seen anybody lately? I did in the old days. But people used to come to the altar and just fall out because they were coming into the presence of God. Somebody said, what's wrong with them? They just seen the glory of God, and God's got their attention, and so they fall down, and they worship Him, and they have humbleness about them to understand it's not them, it's me that needs straightening out in my life. We find also repentance comes. The attitude of our heart makes all the difference, the heart that God created in us. And then quickly, I've got a lot to do, I'm going to have to move quick, but He sensed His spiritual cleansing, verses 6 and 7. Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Now, the Lord doesn't just point out our sins. He provides the means for cleansing of our sin. I can stand here today and preach to you about sin, and you got sin in your life. And by the way, I believe everybody in this building has sin in their life. The Bible said to him that saith he had no sin, he's a liar. And the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what we need to understand is God don't just tell us how bad we are without telling us how good we can be if we see the glory of God in our life. It'll make a difference. He came, the tongs that came, that He brought it to it. The angel used the tongs not because the coals were hot, but because it was holy. It came from the altar, the place of sacrifice, the place of atonement, the place of forgiveness. Even a holy seraphim was not qualified to touch it. Yet we find God used this in order that Isaiah may see the Lord as He was. It isn't the live coal that cleanses us of our sin. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us of all our sin. It isn't the live coals that cleanse. Well, I've already said that, but the closer you get to God, the worse you look. The closer you get to God, the worse you look. You look in a mirror, and when you first get up, you don't look so good. At least I don't. I won't judge nobody else. But after you work a little bit, you can kind of make something fairly presentable, and you can get it to go. But I'm telling you, when you get right with God, I tell you what, He can take the coals with the tongs and place them on your lip. That's exactly where we find Isaiah said, woe is me. Through repentance, grace, forgiveness, we are transformed into Christ to understand the transcendent God is separate from all sinners. So we find here that Isaiah, and I want to keep emphasizing where he was coming from. He was coming from focusing on Uzziah. But now we find that we find him totally consumed in these words that he's speaking. And then in verse number 8, we need to say what Isaiah said. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, God said, I'm not through with you, Isaiah. Had to get you clean first before you could be used. I had to place these upon your lips. I had to make you understand. You've seen with your eyes the King of all glory. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom shall go for us? Then said I, hear my Lord, send me. We need to say what Isaiah said. You know what Isaiah said? I'm available. Friend, today God's looking for people just to be available. I tell you today, you say, well, you know, I love God, but I've got a lot of other things I have to do. I don't really have time. But one day, it may be something worse than your desire dying or somebody that you look up to, or it could be somebody that you got your eyes focused on to get your eyes back on the Lord. As soon as Isaiah gets his heart clean, as As soon as he gets right, the Lord calls him to service. I tell you today, I believe there's a job for everybody. I think when people come in and get saved, they may not be equipped to teach Sunday school at the time. But I believe in a period of time, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they will get to that point. But let me tell you, they don't have to sit on the sidelines for long. There's people to tell that Jesus died for their sins and that he'll save them if they turn their life over to him. He can find that they can pray for people around about them. And there's a host of other things they can do to go with somebody that knows how to tell somebody about Christ and encourage them. The holy seraphim, he sees, serve him, the Lord. He was made holy. And I want to serve him too. I don't want to wait just till I get to heaven so I can say I can do this then and I'll take care of it. But he was indicting that the death of Uzziah and his life on the altar of sacrifice for God. We sing that song sometime, "Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid?" I think today I ask the question, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Friend, today I don't know that I've done too good a job, but I tell you what I've tried to do. I've tried to bring you to the place that Isaiah was. I've tried to get your mind in the place that it needs to be so that you can see the Lord. And by the way, it's not the message or even the delivery of my message, but it's God speaking to your heart from the Word of God and allowing you to understand what you need to do. God sends Isaiah now. He's clean, he's ready. And by the way, even Isaiah had to get his heart right, get his attitude right. He had to see a glimpse of heaven and what was going on there. But then we find when he got clean, God sent him to the wicked nation of Israel. Why would God send a man like Isaiah? He himself, obviously, was a sinner. He talked about how wicked he was, and he said, "Woe, I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips," meaning he had spoken things that perhaps he should not. But you know why God sent him? It's because God was looking for somebody who knew what it was like to be forgiven and cleansed by the grace of God. I believe today that all of us ought to live holy lives pleasing unto God. But I can tell you this, I do believe sometimes some people go down the path of sin and they get their hearts right with God. And I believe sometimes, please don't misunderstand me because I'm against all that. But I believe somebody that's been there maybe can relate to that person a little better because they know what it took to get to the place that they were. Who better to take the message of forgiveness and the love of the lost to the lost world like us, you and me? He said, people, they won't listen to people like us. Listen, it's God that helps them to listen. It's God that makes them listen. And it's God who draws them to Christ within himself. We hide behind our sinful past. It's our excuse for not telling the world. We said, we can't witness to nobody. You see the Lord, you'll witness to him. You ever seen somebody that's just overwhelmed with in their life and you just see something about them? They can't keep their mouth shut. They want to tell others about Christ. And then he says, basically, he said, I'm agreeable. Isaiah told the Lord, I'm available. But he also mentioned that I'm agreeable. Basically, what he said in this verse, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. He agreed with the statement, make yourself available to the Lord. He was basically saying, Lord, I'm here to do what you want. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I'm willing for you to send me anywhere you want me to go. But Lord, I've seen the glory of God, and he's changed and transformed my life. Make yourselves available. Make yourselves agreeable. And then ask yourself, what is it, Lord, that I can do for you? Our God is a holy God. He is holy beyond anything that I can describe this morning. He is a God who forgives sinners. He uses the forgiving to reach others who needs forgiveness and forgives those who responds when he calls. Can I just say today, there's nobody in this building that God does not stand ready right now to forgive you of your sins, save your soul, and give you eternal life. Nobody. Because he forgives all. He will use you too. I tell you, years ago, I ran from God for a little while. Went through some experiences in my life. I was the most unlikely to succeed in my family. But I'm glad to report to you today. And my sisters, they were wonderful people and great. And I'm not saying I was any better. But I guess I should have said it this way. They never expected me to be a preacher. They just couldn't fathom that or think about it. But I tell you what, when God spoke to my heart, I couldn't imagine myself being a preacher either. I went all the way through Bible school, didn't know whether I was going to be a preacher or not. I just knew I wanted to be what God wanted me to be. And God has used me, I believe, to a certain degree, for which I'm grateful. What we really need today is a vision of who God is. We need a vision of who God is. Friend, understand now, this is not some man in the sky, the pie in the sky, and one day we're all going to go there and this, that, and the other. And most people think that. They think, oh, we die, we'll all go to heaven, or they don't think that you go anywhere. But I can assure you, you'll spend eternity one place or the other. We need a heart that is aware of our sinfulness, and our sin ought to break our hearts before God. We need willingness to submit to His will for our lives. We need to serve Him with every fiber of our being. What we really need is we need Him more than anything. And today we need to have an experience like Isaiah have. And when you have Him and He has you, you'll find that He's all you need. Today I submit to you, Christ is all I need. What a great, great passage of Scripture. Isaiah had to get his eyes off of the distraction, get his eyes on God. And again, I'm not going to spend much time, but we're so distracted by the things of the world that we don't see the holiness of God. We don't have that holiness experience like we should. Friend, today, would you say, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll do what you want me to do. If I'm here this morning, I'm lost, and I'll get saved. I want that forgiveness. I want you to do what you would have me to do. And God will do it if you trust Him to meet your needs.